Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
And I knew what message I was going to preach when about, I don't know, 4 or 6 weeks ago, I went to lunch with Lucia Parker, one of our worship leaders here. She's at our West Palm Beach campus now about once or twice a month because she's touring the world singing, filling up stadiums, singing for Jesus, y'all. That's just really cool. Really cool. When I say the world, I'm talking about like the nation of Colombia and the nation of El Salvador and the nation of Peru and the nation of Brazil and going to Puerto Rico. This is really cool stuff. And she's born in El Salvador. She's Hispanic, so she's got dark hair. But you would never know that if you've seen her, because when she's on stage, her hair is blonde. How many of you know Miss Clara must have a hand in that? No judgment, because I don't even know how many of Miss Clairol's numbers are in my head at this particular moment, but it is there's a few. And she sat down and she said, you know, I went to the salon and said, I want my hair to be platinum blonde. And she said, the lady looked at me and she said, sweetie, we can't make your hair platinum blonde. Your hair is too dark and it's long. If we did that to you, your hair would be so damaged, we would have to cut it off. And that's when Lucia answered the lady and said a sentence that put me in motion. It was so much deeper than I even knew in the moment, but I knew that it quickened with my spirit. She said, I just looked at that lady and I snapped my fingers and said, baby, you don't know my God. Y'all must have been at the last service. You know where we're going. She said, you don't know my God. And I immediately thought of a hashtag, and I want you to write that down as your first note of the day, because you're going to try and remember the letters, that the order that the letters go in, and it's YDK. MG, you don't know my God. Because I think if we would start putting a hashtag like that on our pictures when something good happens in our life and we just stamp that, you don't know my God. And when we have that meal, why do people post pictures of their food on Facebook and Instagram? All it does is make me hungry. But when they do and that meal is that good, we might as well stamp that YDKMG. And people will be like, what is YDKMG? What is that hashtag for? And it gives you the opportunity to say, oh, I'm sorry. You don't know my God and how good he's been to me in my past, how good he is to me in my present, and how good I expect him to be to me in my future. I would love to tell you about my God. And so I knew in that moment, we need to take a message, and Father's Day is the perfect opportunity to talk about how good God has been. How good God is, and go ahead and start working on our praise and how good God is going to be to us in our future. Because I don't even think we realize, I don't think we understand, and I surely am sure of this, we have sold God short in the glory and the honor and the praise that is due him for the things that he has already done for us. If he never did anything for us again, he's done so much that we haven't even noticed. Somebody go ahead and just say, thank you, Jesus. So let's get our practice on. You're going to say, you don't know my God, but we're just not going to do it like, you don't know my God, because that's not enough. So guys, I know you need to be like manly, and I know you like to grunt. I talk to my husband. He answers me in grunts. I said, baby, you want the remote? You hungry? You need a drink of water? I'm starting to interpret the yeses and the noes from. So guys, you just be like, you don't know my God. Ladies, I know you have more sass than that. I know that when your husband disappoints you and you get aggravated with your children, that your head just suddenly automatically does this little thing, and that a snap comes out of you before you even know what happened. So ladies, I want you to snap and then say, you don't know my God. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready? Tap your neighbor, and on the count of three, you tell them you don't know your God. 1, 2, 3. You don't know my God. I like the way you did that. You did that with a boldness, and you did that with a confidence. And that's how God wants us to approach the throne of grace. He wants us to come to him boldly and with confidence, knowing that when we ask him to move, that he will. When we ask him to go out on our behalf, that he will. That he is not only able, but that he is also willing to move on our behalf. Tap your neighbor one more time and tell them, you don't know my God. Whew. In Ephesians 1, in verse 17, it's Paul speaking to Ephesians, and he's praying that the Lord God, the Christ our Father, the Father of glory, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. You see, I think you and I get into a place where we take for granted, or we just take in stride the things that God is doing on our behalf, and we don't even have the supernatural wisdom that it takes to discern how much God is actually doing for us in a moment, and we need the revelation to see how God is actually moving on our behalf. You see, right now we think we're in church and that we're worshiping God and we know what's happening, but there's an entire spirit realm that is moving around in this moment, and the things that come out of our mouth, whether it's a complaint and a grumble or whether it's a praise and a glory, the things that we release out of our mouth right here in this service or while you're in your car alone or while you're talking on the phone, those things that come out of your mouth start moving things in the spirit. And we don't even have the wisdom or the revelation to be able to see it. In verse 18, it says that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. That the eyes of our understanding can actually see what is happening beyond what we can see. You see, God has done stuff for us that we don't understand. And we have a tendency to limit God and put him in a box of what we expect him to be able to do. And God wants out of the box in your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, you don't know my God. Because see, what we do is we pray the prayer, dear God, by Friday, I need $544.92 for my house payment, Lord. I need the house payment, God. I'm not getting a paycheck this week, God. God, I need you to bring $544.92, God. If you don't bring it, God, they've already given me 3 late notices. I don't know what they're going to do, Jesus. You got it right on my name. All I need to And we pray like that. And God's like, you want me to bring you $544.92, and that's how you want me to move, and you need it by Friday. And we box God in, and we sit on this box, and God says, I don't want to pay your house payment. I want to pay off your house. Yay. Woo, it's Father's Day. Maurice came to church. I like it when Maurice is here. I'm glad you're here. So my daughter Ashton, she was probably about 2 years old. We lived in our old house. And my sister just happened to come home from college and just happened to feel like spending some time with her older, married, boring sister with kids instead of running around with her friends. So she comes over to the house. We're messing around outside. I'm just taking care of what I got to take care of. And I realize that dinner is burning inside. So I immediately like, hey, oh, we got to get inside. And I start running for the door. Well, Ashton, being 2 years old, how many of you know when kids are small enough to be in the stroller, that's about the size they are that they want to be in charge and push the stroller, right? So she's pushing her little, like, grocery cart stroller thing around, and she's got her toys in it. And she's just pushing that around. And I head for the house, and I don't even look back until my hand hits the door of the house. And when my hand hits the door of the house, I turn around real quick, and I see my sister swimming fully clothed in the swimming pool, at which point I am aggravated to no end. I'm thinking, I don't have a towel. I'm going to have to get you a towel. You're going to have to get out. You're going to come in the house wet. You're going to make a huge mess. I'm going to have to clean it up. I'm going to have to find you clothes to wear while your clothes dry, which means I have to put your clothes in the dryer, which means I need to rotate the laundry, and I don't have time to do any of this. Dinner is burning right now, and I look at my sister, and I say, what are you doing? And about that moment, she turns and swivels in the pool, and I see that she's got Ashton underneath her right arm. You see, what had happened is Ashton was pushing her little stroller cart thing, and the edge of it went off the edge of the pool, and she wasn't strong enough to pull it back out. Instead, it pulled her into the pool. I didn't see it happen. I never would have known it would have happened. If I had been at home alone, I might have looked back and said, oh, she must be on her way in the house and probably gone to save the pot roast instead of saving my dinner, saving my daughter. I'm hungry. But God, you see, the Lord himself says, Deuteronomy 31:8, for the Lord, he goes before us. He does not send a representative. He does not send a prayer warrior. He does not assign an angel. He doesn't just randomly tell somebody in heaven, go take care of it. The Lord himself, he goes before us. Ooh, and he goes into that place. He goes into the mess that you haven't even made yet. You said the Lord, he'll go before you, and he'll go into that porn store before you even make your first visit. The Lord himself, he goes to the drug addict before you take your first hit. The Lord himself gets in the middle of that bed that you have no business in before you ever know where the house is at. The Lord himself goes into your break room at the office where you're about to run your mouth too much and say things you should not say, and your boss is about to walk in behind you, and God's in there with a mop, already mopping up your mess before you get into the room. The Lord, he goes before you. And he starts making a way. He puts a desire in my sister to come home and spend time with me, so that she can save my daughter. And she's the daughter that I had cervical cancer, so they told me that I didn't know if they'd be able to hold a baby in my belly, and I had a miscarriage before I did that. I fought for that child. That child was a blessing of God that the enemy tried to take out before she ever got here. The enemy came back again trying to get it, and I just stand and look at the enemy now and say, nice try, buddy, but you don't know my God. Somebody give God a praise for the times he has saved you. And not only does God go before us, Deuteronomy 31:8, not only does he go before us, but it says, and he will be with you. He doesn't leave you in that place. He stays with you the whole time. He says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. So when you're in the club and they're partying like they shouldn't be partying, when they're riding dirty and doing things they know they shouldn't be doing, I'm telling you what, you've got God in the car with you and people praying, a hedge of protection around you so that you don't get into the trouble that God doesn't want you in. I'd be saying, but I'm in some trouble. Oh, well, I'm about to tell you how to get out of that trouble, and that is for praising him to be out of the trouble that you got yourself in, because knowing that he's a big enough God to handle whatever kind of mess you have made. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, you don't know my God. Hey, y'all gonna get me in trouble. Y'all gonna get me in trouble. Wait. Hold on, I gotta tell a story. I'm thirsty. They obviously think I'm real thirsty. See, Jesus went to a wedding, and when he went to this wedding, the people were obviously real thirsty because they drank up all the wine, which you've been to parties like that. People didn't prepare adequately, and it wasn't that big a deal. But that's not how they operated in society back in that day. Back in that day, if you didn't have enough wine at the wedding, you would be cut off from society. You would be cut off from doing business. You would be cut off from relationships. You would be cut off from friendships. You would be ostracized. So it was actually a monumental problem. So when Mary noticed that there was a problem, she came up to Jesus. And she said, Jesus, baby, they ran out of wine. Can you do something? You know, the Bible says that this was the first miracle that Jesus had ever done, and I truly believe it because that's what the Bible says. However, Mary saw an inkling of something in her daily life with Jesus and how things happen for her to notice when there is a problem that is in a situation. I'm not sure exactly what he can do because I haven't seen what he can fully do, but this I do know: if I'm going to call on one person when I have a problem, I'm going to make sure that I call on the name of Jesus. Jesus is going to be the one name I call. I'm going to say, Jesus, we got a problem up in here. And the problem is that there's not enough wine. Now, Jesus does not say, you know, hey, excuse me. So if I'm going to do a miracle, what I need is I need everyone to put the spotlight on me, everything to stop. I need silence in the room. I need people lined up in lines, taking notes and recording this thing. And make sure they all wear tuxedos, because obviously God is British. I don't know. And make them watch what I'm doing. No, what Jesus said is, woman, leave me alone. It is not even my time yet. Which I'm really glad Mary was his mother and not me, because if Austin would have said to me, woman, it is not my time yet, I would have been like, is it time now? Just being real. He says, it's not time yet. He didn't draw attention to himself or what he was about to do. So if you've asked God to do something for you, Jesus, I need you to move in my life, and you don't see anything unusual happen, don't be worried. The same thing happened to his mama, and the miracle still happened. So he says, hey, guys, servants, I need y'all to go get me 6 water pots full of water. 6 water pots full of water. Well, a water pot was a big stone pot. It was, the Greek says it's like 2 or 3 metres, which is like 20 or 30 gallons of water. So 6 of those would be 120 to 180 gallons of water. This is about a gallon of water, and if I drank this, I wouldn't be able to leave the bathroom for a week. Now, how many of you know if you had to sit at the kitchen sink and fill 120 to 180 of these, you would get bored quick? How many of you would probably complain about it? Just being honest, right? We're in church. We tell the truth. So Jesus says that, and so the servants leave, and they go over to the well because they don't have a kitchen faucet. And they're like, I don't even know who this guy is. You've got to go up here and get water. Ain't nobody complaining that they don't have any water. Everybody's complaining that we're out of wine. And this joker, just because his mama said, listen to him, because she knows whatever he said we got to do. They don't even belong here. That's not their wedding. They're not the bosses around here. All I know is this is a big, huge mess. You see, when God is in the middle of trying to do a miracle on our behalf, we're going to be over here grumbling and complaining about the little bitty task he gave us to do so that the miracle can come about. I tell you right now, if God has asked you to tithe, if he asked you to serve, if he asked you to pray, if he asked you to straighten up, if he asked you to shut your mouth, if he asked you to release that friend, he's not doing it for his behalf. He said, would you quit complaining about the little bitty thing that I asked you to do? Because right now I'm setting you up to have a miracle that's beyond what you can ask or think or imagine. God is working on your behalf right now. He wants to do a miracle, but all we can do is complain about it. So they bring it out, and they're like, okay, what do we do now? They're like, well, you take it to the magistrate and give him a drink. Like, okay, here's the deal. You know, I'm a servant, I'm a slave. So if I bring him water and tell him it is wine, I'm going to get fired, beaten, or killed. I don't know how into this I am, God, because I think you're about to make me look like a fool or make somebody hurt me. So they're like, I don't even know who this joker is. Excuse me, magistrate, they have asked me to pour you sir, they asked me to pour you this wine that you requested, and I just want you to know, sir, that I'm very excited to bring you that thing that you've been asking for the whole time. And the magistrate said, wine? Well, let me try some of that. I tell you what, most people serve the good stuff at the beginning of the wedding, but you guys have saved the best stuff for the last of the wedding. And I think the significance in this story is this. The miracles that he has done to sustain you and get you here are not even the good miracles that God is wanting to do in your life. He has left the best miracles for your future and what he wants to do and what he is getting ready to do. Can somebody give God a praise for what's about to happen in your life? Because it hasn't happened yet. We can't even imagine what it is. We just complain and get in the water. We're scared to present it to anybody because they're going to make a fool of us. But what God is wanting to do is set you up, baby, for a miracle. Somebody give God a shout of praise. Okay, sit down. We can't credit coincidence for what it is that God has done in our life. So many times we do that. We credit coincidence with the miracle that God did for us. Well, it's so weird how it just came together. I mean, I got the job. I didn't even think I was qualified for the job, but I got the job. Oh, wait, the client, I mean, we got this new business, and we got this client. Our bid wasn't the best, and our business wasn't even big enough, but we still got the client. Somehow, they just wanted to give us a try. That's not somehow, that's God. I know we've all done this. God, heal me. God, this headache is driving me crazy. God, get rid of this arthritis in my knee, and it's 6 minutes, 60 minutes, 6 hours, 6 days, or 6 weeks go by before we even notice. I wonder when it is my knee quit hurting, because all I know right now is it doesn't hurt right now, but we didn't notice when it happened. You don't necessarily notice exactly when it is that it went from natural to supernatural and from when your water turned into some wine, but this I know, God has done the miracle, and he's working on your next miracle. What we got to do is stop complaining about it and start praising about it. When somebody give our God, who is big enough, who not everybody knows, a shout of praise in this house today. Glory to God. Woo! Woo! Is that time right? This devil is a liar. Ephesians 2:20.
Y'all know that. Now unto him who is exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that worketh in us. According to him, unto him, exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask. I've asked some pretty audacious things. How about you? All we can think. I've put some ideas on paper that are pretty huge. I don't know how you dream, but if I'm dreaming, the house is nice and the house is big and I don't have to clean it. Thank you, Jesus. You can go ahead and take care of that too. And the car doesn't just run. The car is sweet when I'm driving it. And my husband isn't just cute. My husband treats me like a queen when I play the record in my head. I got a pretty good imagination. How about you? God says that ain't big enough. Wish y'all would loose me to do what I want to do in your life. And then verse 21, see, most of us know Ephesians 3:20, but it's 3:21 that we don't have in our heart just yet. And it says in Ephesians 3:21, these words, to him be the glory. You see, God doesn't even do the miracle for him. God doesn't even necessarily do the miracle just for you. God does the miracle for the glory that we're supposed to give him when the miracle happens. So he doesn't get credit just for doing the miracle in your life. He gets the credit as you tell it to the nations and you lose his power in the world and you lose his power in the atmosphere. He wants us to give him glory and give him praise, not only for what he's already done. And not just for what he's doing in this moment that we might not even be able to see how the miracle is going to happen, but the things that he's going to do in our future that we haven't even gotten into the trouble for yet. Look at your neighbor right now and say, you don't know my God. If you give God your attention, he will always exceed your expectation. Ooh, that's worth tweeting right now. If you give God your attention, he will always exceed your expectation. Hashtag YDKMG. Because you don't know my God. You think my God is small. You think my God might not be able to do it. We try to right size our miracle instead of right sizing our God. We try to make the miracle small enough for him to handle instead of making God big enough to do whatever it is he needs to do. Quit putting God in a box and let him go. We put him in the box when we get in the tight space. You see, it gets tight for us, and therefore we make it tight for him. Paul and Silas in Acts 16. In Acts 16, 24, it says that Paul and Silas got thrown into jail, and they didn't even do anything wrong. They cast the demon out of a girl. I do that in traffic daily. He cast the demon out of a girl, and so they beat him with rods. They put him in prison. Not just in prison like you have a window or some fresh air. They put him in the inner dungeon where you don't have access to fresh air. It's nasty. It stinks. And you have trouble getting food. And not only they put him in the inner prison dungeon, they put them in an agonizing position in stocks. And then they left them there and they walked away. You ever had a day that went from bad to worse to you have got to be kidding me? They were in a moment of, you've got to be kidding me. And it's in those moments when things get tight for us that we make it tight for God. God, if you could just get me out of these stocks. I don't want to get you out of stocks. I want to get you out of jail. God, if you would just, we need to take just out of our vocabulary and start saying, God, if you will have your way, I trust whatever it is you want to do. And I don't even know how to pray in an English, so I'm going to leave my vocabulary very wide and just say, Jesus, do your thing. We get caught up in trying to be the magnificent magistrate, marvelous king of glory, heavenly, hallelujah, apologetics, hermeneutics, theobretics, whatever. It's really just about his power. Well, I don't know. I kind of like it when the words rhyme. No, it's really just about his power. You see, when Paul and Silas were there at midnight, if you had been beaten and you had been thrown in jail and it was midnight and it was a dark hour and you were tired, how many of you would say, I would be sleeping? I would be sleeping. I would be fine trying to sleep at that time. But instead of sleeping, what they were doing is, it says in verse 25, they were praying and singing hymns and praises to God. In their darkest hour, they didn't make it tight on God because it was tight on them. What they did is it got tight on them, so they got loose on God. And they started loosing out of their mouth the thing that needed to be loosed, which was their praise. Everybody say praise.
Praise.
A pair of 30-inch speakers. It's not that big, right? 30-inch speakers. Two 30-inch speakers hooked up to a tone generator. Doesn't make much noise. When we're praising in the natural. Thank you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Trust you, Jesus. I don't even know what to say, Jesus. I'm just going to say your name, Jesus. That's in the natural. We don't think it's doing much. Because that's all we can hear. It's not what we can hear from those two 30-inch speakers that will actually, physically, and literally vibrate a building off of its foundation. It's not what we can hear that will move your mountain. You see, there are ultrasonic waves that are above and beyond what we can hear. And there are subsonic waves that are below and underneath what we can hear. So we think we're saying, thank you, Jesus. I'm not even sure what to say, God. I just need you to move, God. But when we release the praise, we think we're just saying, and it's going to start moving the mountain. We don't see how this could move the mountain, but it's not what we can hear. It's what's heard in the above and beyond that we can't hear that starts moving things in the heaven. And it's what hell starts hearing that is underneath and below. So hell starts getting nervous and saying, I threw them my best punch, and yet they're going to praise Jesus. So when we say, hell, take that. Heaven, listen to this. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. With faith, we please God. We release faith. It starts releasing in Him that He knows, that we know, that He's going to move. When we lose a praise for something that hasn't happened, all of heaven takes notice and all of hell gets scared. Right now, I want you to lose a praise out of your mouth that they're going to take note of, that it's going to move your mountain, that it's going to change things in your life. Somebody give God a praise. Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. How many of you like doing what the Bible says? You know, the Bible says in Psalm 67, it says, let the peoples praise Him. Not the pastor praise Him. Not the worship team praise Him. Not the keyboard guy praise Him. Not the prayer team praise Him. He says, let the people praise Him. And He said, when the people praise Him, then the earth will yield its increase. Then God will bless His people. So I just want to know, are there any people in the building today? I just wonder, are you willing to praise Him? Come on, everybody, let's just give God a praise. Praise Him like it already happened. Praise Him like you can see it in your mind's eye. Praise Him like you actually believe it. Praise Him like you have faith in Him. Because I tell you what, Jesus has been too good to me. If Jesus has been good to you, go ahead and shout. Because when I think about Jesus, what He done for me, think about Jesus.
Jesus, what's up for me? When I think about Jesus, my every breath is one dance.
with me, he said. Rejoice. Rejoice. There's a old song. I don't know if you, y'all, we're out of time. Y'all got two more minutes? You remember that song? Keith, we've been together since you were like four. I know you're going to know this. You might have to tell them. It's a song about how he's God on the platform. Something about he's God. He's God, he's God, he's God, he's God. He is God, he is God, he is God in the sick room. He is God in the courtroom. He is God on the church, and he is God on the street. He is God in the ghetto. He is God in the high rise. Wherever you go, it doesn't change who he is, because he is God. You don't know my God.
Jesus, we declare your wonder working, miracle moving, mountain crushing power that breaks every yoke. The anointing of the Lord breaks the yoke of bondage. You break every yoke, you break every chain, you break every stronghold. We speak to drug addiction to be broken in Jesus' name. We speak to pornography addiction to be broken in Jesus' name. We speak to food addiction to be broken in Jesus' name. Father, we loose your power. We loose your favor. We declare that when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the standard of the Lord is raised up against him, that no weapon formed against us will prosper, that 1,000 may fall at our left hand and 10,000 fall at our right, but no plague shall come nigh our dwelling. Only with our eyes will we see the reward of the wicked. No matter what happens in the club, no matter what happens at the airport, no matter what happens in this city, we will just look at it, Lord, because you have put a hedge of protection around us. You have taken the angels and told them to lift us up and hold us in their hands, lest we dash a foot against a stone. We will not buy peanut butter and a 5-gallon jug of water and sit in our basement. We're going to go out into the world and declare, you don't know my God. You are the God of the breakthrough, and we are thankful for you. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com.